Great. It's really good to see you. A really warm welcome. We're going to be together for a good amount of time. Lots of it will be remembering. We'll be worshipping. We'll be fixing our eyes on Jesus. And I want to extend a really warm welcome and thank you for coming on behalf of Philip and the family. My name is Matt, a friend of Philip and a huge fan of Philip and Nancy and the family. And so it's a real privilege to be part of what we're doing together today. In Psalm 145, there's a statement that I know Philip and many others will love. And it's this statement. It says, "The Lord is near to all who call on his name." And I believe it's true for our gathering today that God is near to us. I believe it's many of our experience of time with Nancy. It would also be true that when we came away from time with Nancy, we felt a greater nearness to God. You're going to get a little bit bored of me echoing this. I'm going to pray it in a moment. But God is near. Do you get it? God is near. And so whether you're here this afternoon and you feel the nearness of God, or you don't feel the nearness of God, I want to strongly and humbly encourage you. God is nearer than perhaps you believe him to be. And it's my prayer this afternoon, and I think it's certainly the prayer of Philip and Helen and others, and it would certainly have been the prayer of Nancy, that we experience some of the nearness of God in everything that we do in the next little bit of time. I'm going to read you some lovely verses from Psalm 46, verses 1 to 7. And if you'd like to, I'd invite you just to close your eyes and get hold of these words that reflect on this truth that God is near. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that we can come together today with a real joy and a real confidence. As we celebrate the life of Nancy, we can be confident that God is near. And I pray now that we're all in very different places as we gather this afternoon, but I pray that every single one of us will experience the nearness of God. In the name of Jesus, amen. We're going to worship, and Rachel and Capella will be leading us in that worship.
Well, when you come to talk about your mother, is how do you sum it up in a few words? She was always family orientated, always wanted to know how the family were doing. Whenever we went to Sora in the nursing home, first question was, how is Kim and the girls? How is Mark? She always is interested in the family, whoever they were, wherever they were, what they did. And I can remember as a young child, when I went to first primary school, I had difficulties at school. The teachers gave up with me. They said I was useless, no good for anything. And it was her dogmatic that went to search out what was wrong. And she went to all over the place trying to find out why I couldn't learn. Until she went to a friend down the road who was a school teacher and said, I know what's wrong with Mike. He's dyslexic. It was just her dogmaticness that did it. Otherwise, the education would have written me off. And just that was her thing. She was stubborn at times, and she wouldn't let go of things until she had sorted things out. And I can remember as a child, we weren't very wealthy, weren't very well off, but there's always plenty of food on the table. Whatever the situation was, Whoever came knocking at the door or who came unexpectedly, there was always a great feast put on at a moment's notice. She had that knack of bringing food out of nowhere. And as children, I can always remember sitting around a tea table, a lunch table, there was always plenty of food. How she did it, I don't know. And then I remember the family boxing days when there was oceans of people about with the fun and laughter, and she was in the midst of it laughing and crying. And she had a great sense of fun. And as we all grew up, we knew Mum's faith. That was imparted into us. Like we've just rung, just like we just sung, we know that God is our rock in our lives. All the things that we've been through in our lives, she's always stood there beside us, knowing that God will always be with us, wherever we do, wherever we go. And that she's imparted that into me. And as we grow up with Mum, she was always there with us. Dad used to work a lot and used to preach, go out preaching. So it was left to Mum a lot of the time. And she did a marvellous job with us. Although I think we used to try her patience quite a bit. I know Robert and I used to fight quite a bit. And one of the strong things I can always remember with Mum was that she was always frightened of in the car with going too close to the hedge or too close to the road, or we'd go to West Bay and we'd park near the edge of the quay and she'd be frightened, witless, and we'd all make fun of her because we were about 5 yards from the edge of the thing, but she would always panic. And one of the funny things I think I can remember was that Robert bought another car. He bought a Ford Anglia with a hotted up engine and everything else in it. And he said, "Can I take you for a spin, Mum?" And she said, "Oh, yeah." So he took her down the road and went up Kit Hill. Well, there wasn't any houses up Kit Hill at the time. And he got to the top and she jumped out and she said, "I'm not going any further, I'm walking home." And that was the only time she ever went in Robert's car. She had a great sense of fun as well. As you see on the photographs, a lot of them are laughing, especially when she's just around her family. And I used to always treasure Mum, and the time I had with her was that all she wanted was her family around her and her sense of faith that rubbed up on us all. Thank you.
Mum suffered with ill health, as most of you know, for a large part of her life. But she always, she was, as Mike said, was just so determined that it wasn't going to stop her. And so she would try and carry on as much as possible as she could as normal. And it's just really sad that in the last 7 years that she's been here at Welton, our church family at Welton haven't really known Mum at her peak. But she was a very strong, determined Christian lady, and her faith, as Mike has said, was a huge part of her life and shaped the way that she was. She very rarely complained about her circumstances, but always took an interest in everybody else and was a great prayer warrior. Whenever you visited, she would always ask about others who she knew were going through hard times or were struggling. Mum's going to be a very hard act to follow as she set the bar extremely high. She lived her faith out in action in the community where we lived, looking out for the waifs and strays, as she called them, that God put on her heart. It could be a lonely mum at the school gate where we lived. It was quite close to Yeovilton base, and so there were a lot of service wives who were lonely. So Mum would befriend them, and then she'd volunteer Dad to go and do the practical jobs because they didn't have a man about the house. A neighbour and people that she bumped into on the way to town, she would stop and talk and she would make relationships with them. And then that would lead on to taking them meals, taking them to the hospital if they had an appointment, just befriending them. And she would always be there, sharing practically. And then when the moment arose, she'd be in there with her testimony and praying for them and telling them that she was praying for them too. As Mike alluded, Mum had a great sense of fun, but she didn't have a sense of humour. And Brian's going to share that in a minute, so I'm not going to spoil that. But there was another thing that Mum couldn't do, and that was take a photograph. And if you saw some of the photos, you'd be able to tell which were Mum's. Because if you were in the middle of the photo, you probably wouldn't have a head, or you might have part of a head. And if you weren't in the photo, there'd be a beautiful scenery, and there might be just an arm or an ear on either side of one of the sides of the photograph. So you just could not take a picture. But Mum loved spending time with her grandchildren. She loved having them to stay, always making them feel special by spending time with them, playing games. Building dens was a great favourite of hers, taking them to the woods so they could chase around in the trees and learn the names of the trees and the plants. She could always be relied upon, as Mike said, to turn out a good meal. And the grandchildren loved the best bit, that they got to take home all the leftovers. So that was the best thing for them. Family was everything to Mum. And even towards the end, she never lost her interest in all that we were all doing as a family. She loved looking at photos and videos when I visited her and always said, have you heard from so-and-so? Have you heard from so-and-so? So I had to keep in touch with them so I could relay it back to her. In closing, I'd like to read you the letter that she left for us as children and grandchildren, if I can. We don't know when she wrote it, and it would be really nice for us to know when she wrote it, but it really sums Mum up exactly. And it says this: dear children, grandchildren and great-grandchildren, I want to thank you for all the support you have given Dad and myself, and I know that you will go on supporting Dad, Grandpa and great-grandpa. My greatest prayer is that each of you will put your trust in my faithful Saviour. He has never let me down, and he won't you. I'm not going to see all of you grow up, but I trust you will follow my Saviour. My love to you all, everyone. What a family. Mum, Grandma, great-grandma.
Hi, everybody. I would like to share some memories of Mum on behalf of myself, my family, and Graham, one of her brothers. From Graham, Graham's early thoughts of his big sister, Nancy. My early thoughts are when we lived in a place in South Devon called Yelland. It was January 1941 and our mother's birthday. Myself, Ron, Alan and Nancy, all under 10 years of age, are walking 2 miles to the village of Rattray to buy Mum a present. Nancy pushing her doll's pram with a doll in it. We reached the little post office, which sold a few extra things. We bought a very special, practical present, 6 OXO cubes. I remember very clearly that we hid them in the bottom of Nan's doll's pram. On the long walk back, we caught up with 2 people, all dressed in black. We were frightened, thinking they were German spies, and ran all the way home as fast as we could. We told our parents and peered around the curtains. When they passed by, we were told that they were nuns from Buckfast Lee. We had never seen nuns before. Can you imagine Mum's face on unwrapping 6 carefully wrapped OXO cubes? Another memory is of Sunday mornings. We had to walk the 4 or 5 miles to Ashburton Gospel Hall for the morning service. We then had lunch with the Porks before our long return trip, walking home before it got dark. This was during the war. Mother would take a pushchair, and we would all take it in turns for a ride when we became tired, except Nancy. I remember her complaining that it was not fair, being told that she was old enough to walk. But the last memory of my big sister is of a very caring person. It is hard to condense a lifetime of memories into a brief reflection. Mum was well known for being a caring, hospitable individual with a listening ear. She was always looking out for the lonely and the needy. She used to carry out regular visits, taking home-baked cakes to share over a cup of tea. As a young child at primary school age, I remember it used to seem to take forever to get home by the time you'd visited 1 or 2 people along the way. At least at home, the family got to eat all the cakes that went wrong. Mum and Dad would often bring back people unannounced from church, and even pick up strangers along the 8-mile journey to and from church. Food was always stretched, no matter how many extras turned up. Tonya's first memory was 24 years ago, when I was still living at home. I took her and Luke over unannounced one Friday evening and introduced them by saying, "Hello, Mum, this is Tonya and Luke. We are getting married." Then went and had a shower and left them to it. Despite not knowing Tonya even existed, she took her in her stride and immediately adopted them both as her own. Luke's first memories are being taken to Wales to join Ton and I on our honeymoon and being able to play with nice toys. All the boys remember being spoilt and taken on frequent day trips, including many visits to the donkey sanctuary and Seaton Tramway. They also remember her legendary Sunday teas with homemade cakes and special purchases of teddy bear ham. Ton and I would remember always leaving with a goodie bag packed with treats that we had never, ever been afforded to buy ourselves, but Mum had supposedly bought too much of them. The boys remember with a sense of pride and envy that she could stand from her chair and fart the full length of a room. Mum really did not understand humour. Jokes and mickey takes would be returned with a stern face. When concentrating, she would have the Wood trademark grimace. For those of you who don't know, it's a bit like a horse, where all teeth would be bared and ground, which was very scary to the uninitiated. She could fill an I Spy book on ailments many times over, but despite that, and the fact that she was in continuous pain, she held on to her very, very strong faith, which she would love to share with anyone that would listen. On closing, I remember that when I was young, she would often spit on her hanky and smear it around my mouth because I was dirty. Yuck, it felt dirty after that. Mum would always be really early everywhere we went. We were always the first at church. Funny that due to a herd of cows, she was late to her own funeral. She was a loving wife, mother, mother-in-law, grandmother and great-grandmother, adopting many extras along the way. Thankfully, we can honestly say this is not goodbye, but I'll see you soon.
I'm sure you'd agree, those are three remarkable tributes, aren't they? And we've got one more to go, and then hopefully a whole bunch of others. I want to give you a little bit of notice. Capella are going to come and sing the Old Rugged Cross. Then we're going to have another tribute from Carol. But then we're going to invite all of us in the room, those of us that would like to share a memory. And we have one of these, in case you're one of those people that you think, oh no, I couldn't possibly go up the front and use this microphone. That's fine, I will come to you, okay? So if you could be maybe thinking over, as we're listening to this song, if there's a memory that you'd like to share, we would love to be sharing those memories together.
Well, I'm not one of Nancy's kids, so I feel very honoured to be here today. But I do represent the very, very many adopted Nancy's kids. And I also bring greetings and prayers from the church that Philip and Nancy attended for many years in Chard. It says at the beginning of Matthew chapter 6, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them." And Nancy wasn't a person that wanted to stand at the front. She wouldn't have thanked you to be doing what I'm doing now. But Nancy was incredible with what she did in the background. I've known Philip and Nancy for about 25 years. I've known of them for a little bit longer than that, when my parents moved down to Chard, and my parents and Philip and Nancy became great friends. And Philip and Nancy remained incredibly great friends to my parents until they died. So I knew certain things about Nancy. I knew that she was my mum's friend. I had great respect for my mum's opinion, and she reckoned that Nancy was a good egg. And then she became my friend as well. Alan and I had three young children when we moved to Chard, quite boisterous, quite small, quite lively. But that didn't stop us being invited to their house for meals. Very few people want to invite a family with three lively children. But we always got an invite from Philip and Nancy. They welcomed us. They made a fuss of the children. I knew that she prayed for us. You know, we often have good intentions, don't we? I'll pray for you. And you, Nancy, prayed for us because she'd check up on whether the prayer had been answered and what was happening. She really did pray. She prayed for all of us. She was such an incredible support at the end of my mum's life. My parents were a little bit older. And I was a carer for my parents for the last 10 years. And certainly towards the end, it got very difficult. And I could rely on the fact that if we went away and we had a small break, which we badly needed at times, that Philip and Nancy would step into the breach. And I can't remember the details, but I do remember we were somewhere, we'd gone away for a few days, and there was something I was concerned about, and I rang them up. And I can't remember what was said, I can't remember the conversation, but I do know that Nancy was on the other end of the phone to give reassurance that it was all okay. And she was trustworthy. I finished that conversation and knew that I could enjoy a time of respite because it was okay, because there was someone there I could trust. She was a lady who smiled a lot. She had an attitude of gratitude. And I loved being in her company. I loved the fact that she always wanted to talk about her Saviour, that she always wanted to pray. So there were things that I knew. But knowing that I needed to say something today, I also asked other people about their memories of Nancy. You know, because I'm a little bit naughty at times, so it was like, come on, tell me some stories about Nancy. What have you got? But without fail, the stories were of Nancy's kindness. Everybody, absolutely everybody, mentioned the hospitality, the food. There were even people that could remember their children had had meals at Nancy's when they were little. They're grown up and they still talk about the certain things that Nancy used to make. She used to do things in the background, maybe arrange lifts for people who needed lifts. She always knew what was going on with the neighbours, not because she was nosy, well, she did like to know, but because she was concerned and would help them. You've heard that from the family, and I heard it time and time again. Time and time again, she cared for people. When we moved into Chard, Nancy and Philip helped us, showed us round. When my wife died, Nancy was there. She supported our family. She provided us with so many meals. What a blessing she was. And other things she used to do that she didn't say. She just got on and did them. I remember my mum said, "Don't throw your sheets out. You need to pass any old sheets on to Nancy." Why will Nancy want my old sheets? Because she cut them up. They had a little machine that they rolled bandages to send out to the missionaries, to the leprosy society. So much did she do in the background. She wasn't up front, but she was faithful. We came to the church here this morning, and on one of the slides that was up said, you know, it's easy to stand, I can't remember the exact words, but the gist was, it's easy to stand at the pulpit and be a Christian and say the right things. But it's when you're doing that in your home that it really counts. And that's what Nancy did. She lived out her Christian life 24/7. She knew what it was to have a saviour, and she wanted everyone else to know. And I know that today Nancy's with that saviour. She's in that place that she knew she wanted to go to. She lived a life of hope. And her prayer, her last prayer that she asked me to pray with her, was that that will be true for all her family. As it's already been said in her letter, that's what she wanted for each of us, to have a life of joy with Jesus now and hope for eternity because of what he's done. If you haven't got that hope that Nancy had, don't leave it too late.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. There's a rich flow, isn't there? And a real pointing towards Jesus, this God who loves us. We're going to invite people to share their own memories, which would be good. And you'll be very welcome to come and stand up here, or we can bring a microphone to you. Just while you gather your thoughts, I've visited Nancy quite a few times, I think, with Philip in the last couple of years, which has just been the biggest joy. And it sounds cliched, but it's completely true to say that I left Philip and Nancy's house, or the home where Nancy was, always closer to Jesus than when I arrived. And I feel slightly guilty because I was supposed to be going there to try and be a church pastor or something, but I always came away feeling loved and pastored by her and Philip. Two main things that stick in my mind, and then I'm going to come to you. One is her smile. So many times when I visited Philip and Nancy, Nancy would be sleepy. And many of you will know that in the last few years, she'd have been sleepy. But then the minute she knew there was somebody in the room and she caught your eye, there would be this huge smile. And even her smile kind of reminds you of the goodness of God. And second memory for me, which is kind of personal to me, but I loved it that she would always ask me about my missions trips. Then she'd pull out a little, I don't know what it was, Philip will know, but a little prayer journal of various people in parts of the world that she was praying for overseas who were serving Jesus in different parts. And she remembered, and she took a genuine interest in what I was doing. That's my memory, that I felt loved and pastored by her and Philip, and perhaps more than I loved and pastored them. But there you go. So it'd be lovely to hear from you. If you're completely up to you, you can come up here, or if you want to raise a hand, I'm hoping there'll be a good number of us. The only rule, not rule, but the kind of only guideline, is that you can't go on for 25 minutes, all right? Because we want to hear from as many people as possible. How about I come to you? Would that be better? Probably would be better, wouldn't it? So just raise your hand if you're up for this. And even if it's just one sentence, that'd be lovely. Yeah, great.
Well, I was going to talk again about grandma and her food, because as most of you know, I like my food too. A few memories when I don't remember much from being younger. I'm not very good at remembering things, but I do remember one of the things that sticks in my mind is salad cream. We weren't allowed it at home. Salad cream and crisps didn't happen when Mum was cooking, but every time we went to see her at Thompson Drive, there was always lots of salad cream and lots of crisps. I do also remember I stayed with her a few years ago. We were running Enfest here, and I thought I'd just stay down the road rather than driving from Froome every day, and I did say to Gran, I don't need a lot of food. If anything, I need less food than I'm currently having. But regardless, every day I'd come home at about 12:30 and there'd be a roast on the table. It's like, it's lovely. I love the roast. Could I just have a sandwich or something? But no, that had to happen every time. And while Gran was very good at cooking, it didn't always go perfectly. I do remember it would have been about 20 years ago now. She tried a hand at a banoffee pie. And the banana bit was fine, and the sort of biscuity bit at the bottom was fine. But the toffee bit on it was, it was sort of like concrete. It was almost uncuttable, definitely inedible. And I'm sure being utterly mortified the fact she'd made this thing that was, yeah, it was like a brick. But yeah, I'll leave it there.
Okay, good place to end. I saw, yes, Ruth, and we'll come over.
Yeah. At the time when Nancy couldn't get out so much but was still able to do things at home, I happened to mention to her that my daughter was helping new mums up at her church in Peasedown, and Nancy immediately said, oh, well, I could knit hats and bonnets for bonnets and booties for them if you like. And my daughter was thrilled, and I think every week when I popped in there was another bag full of hats and booties for the babies, and they're still wearing them and enjoying them, and they're so grateful for that time that Nancy was able to do that for them.
Well, I think I've known Nancy longer than Philip, really. I've known the family a very long time. And I think Nancy has learned her catering skills and the desire to carry that on from her mother. Because as a small boy, they had a farm very close to us, and I couldn't wait to get there. And one of the reasons was because I liked being on the farm and they would let me do all sorts of different things, but there was always lashings of food. And on Sunday afternoon, the cream teas, and people used to really head for this place. And so I used to enjoy that. So I'm sure she's learnt that from her mother. But the things I can remember, often little stories that she told. And the one story that stands out in my mind, and it's to do with Mike. And she had a bit of a problem with Mike when she was rearing him. And she would put him out in the garden, and she'd lock the gate and everything, but he would escape. And she got so fed up with it that she thought, how can I solve this problem? And so what she decided to do was to get a piece of rope, and she would tie it to his trousers, and then she would tie it to I think it was a tree, she said, or something. And she thought that would fix it. Well, did it? She used to go out, or she went out there once, and she thought, oh, where's he gone? He isn't here. But she did find his pair of trousers still on the end of the rope. He'd taken them off and he escaped over the fence. So that was just a little story that I can remember. But she was full of fun all the time. Good.
That's great.
I remember seeing Nancy in the local hospital, and I was a bit wondering what I should say and how she should be, because she hadn't had good health. But I got to the Poulton Hospital and I was amazed at how smiling she was. She got a visitor and she was happy. And I was just amazed. She was so happy. She discarded the thoughts of she was in hospital. And she just chatted away, asked how I was, asked what was happening in church, just forgot where she was, forgot about the pain, forgot the operation, if you like, and just got on and thought about other people. And that's always stuck in my mind. That was Nancy.
Thanks, Anona. Yeah.
When I think of Nancy, I think of one word, generosity. This happened a little while ago. My eldest daughter was going through a very, very acrimonious divorce. A lot of Christians pointed the fingers, and it was a very bad time for us. One Sunday evening, our doorbell goes. It's 8:30. And I go to the front door with Nancy and Philip. Please come in. And we chatted, made them a cup of tea. And she showed my daughter so much love. Just hold the microphone a bit closer. It's not on, is it? Hold it closer. Oh, closer. Sorry. I'm a Welshman, man of few words. And during the conversation, Nancy had a long talk with Catherine, my daughter, and said, the Lord loves you still. It's happened. God still loves you. And as they were leaving, they pushed an envelope into Catherine's hand, and it was a reasonable sum of money, which Catherine desperately needed. And I believe with all my heart that that night with Nancy and Philip, Nancy's love for Catherine brought her back to the Lord. She's going on with the Lord now in a wonderful way. But it was Nancy's generosity, her love, her patience, her understanding of Catherine's need, which I believe before God brought Catherine back to the Lord. And I just thank the Lord for Nancy, in her generosity of her finance, of her time, of her love. She was a lovely, generous lady in everything she did. God bless her, and I know she's enjoying heaven. Just thank the Lord for her and every happy memory.
Any more? Come on, be brave. It's good to hear, isn't it? Yes. Over in the choir.
I didn't know Nancy half as well as a lot of you do, but just listening to what Matt said about her smile, I was just thinking actually about when you met with Nancy, her eyes. She just had such a twinkle. And it just struck me that I bet the way she spent time with people, she didn't miss much. She took in everything, even in these later years. She's just so concerned and loving of each person in front of her. It lit her up, and I'm inspired by that.
Yeah, a truly inspiring lady. Okay, this is your last chance. There's some great tributes, aren't they? Really, really good. We've got one more from Philip, obviously, which we're looking forward to. Okay, we are going to thank Jesus for all of those things that we see in a woman who loved him so deeply, who loved his faithfulness. And so her life reflected the love of God, didn't it? There's that scripture that many of you will know. It says, we love because he first loved us. And I think that's a good summary of those tributes and testimonies that we've heard, a woman who loved deeply because she knew that the Lord loved her. So let's stand together, and we're going to sing "When Peace Like a River Is Well With My Soul."
Hello. John 14, 1-6. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Philippians 4, verses 4-7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
I think if Nancy had been here this afternoon, she'd be terribly embarrassed, don't you? But you know, that's enough about Nancy. She said to me, and she wrote me a little letter. I'll tell you a story in a minute. But she said, don't make anything of me, but make a lot of my Saviour. Now, the Lord Jesus was very, very real to Nancy. Whenever we spoke together, we had to admit that God had been so faithful to us during our life. Many difficulties we'd faced, financial crises we'd come through, but we'd always had enough. Interesting to hear the stories about the table's food. I remember one occasion, Nancy and I were saying, well, we shall be alone for dinner today. So I'll only cook a little piece of meat. We went to church that morning. and there were some strangers there, and Nancy was making tea or coffee at the end and got into conversation, and they said, oh, they were on holiday. They'd come from Malvern, and they were staying in a bed and breakfast in Crewkerne. Well, I said, well, we live in Crewkerne. Why don't you come back to lunch? And then our son, who said he wasn't going to be there, in the end changed his mind, and he was there, and another member of the family came too. So there were quite a few on this little piece of meat. But, you know, as I cut that meat, it didn't seem to get any smaller. You know, Jesus, with five small loaves and two fish, he fed 5,000. But that little bit of meat did us adequately for lunch. The couple then said, well, we had thought of going to Weymouth this afternoon, but we'd love to come back to your church tonight to the communion service. We so enjoyed the fellowship this morning. I said, well, come, that's all right. Stay on, have a bit of tea with us. After the service, on the way home, I said, what are you doing now? Well, I suppose we shall have to go back to the... I said, come and stay with us a bit longer. Guess what we had later on? A bit more of that meat. That's how God provides. Now, Nancy was about the same age as the Virgin Mary when the Lord first spoke to her. The Lord doesn't necessarily shout, not an audible voice, but there's something inside that resilience, and you know very much that God is talking. And at that age, Nancy decided that she would give her life over to the Lord Jesus. And you know, Christianity is not a religion. It's not a series of doctrines. It's a relationship with Jesus. Because he's alive, isn't he? He rose from the dead. He's not dead, he's alive, he's relevant. And by his Holy Spirit, he wants to take up residence in our lives and guide us and bless us and encourage us and take us through crises. He loves us. And that's what we experienced over many, many years. I was 20, 21 actually, when I heard the message. I was taken to a meeting that I'd never been to before, where a whole lot of these religious people, you know, those people that call themselves Christians, they went to, and the man spoke. And he said, you know, we're like a motor car. Oh, I said, this sounds interesting. And a motor car gets to a situation where it either has to be scrapped or it has to go back to the manufacturer to be refurbished. And you know, we're like that. There comes a time when either we'll be thrown on the scrap heap or we will be refurbished. And there's only one person who can refurbish us, and that's the living Jesus, because he came into the world, he said, to save sinners. And the Bible also tells us that each one of us has sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all guilty in his sight. But Jesus came and bore the penalty. The scripture tells us, all we like sheep have gone astray, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's God's grace, isn't it? And Jesus accepted it. He died on the cross. But he rose again from the dead. Nobody has ever had a life like his. No one ever before was born of a virgin. No one other than him rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. And he's alive today. He's unique. And he's relevant. And he's real. I've known the Lord, gracious me, for nearly 60 years now. And he's real. From my experience, he's real. And I commit him to you. Carol said just now, don't leave it too long. I don't like to Bible bash, but the truth needs to be told sometimes. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. But he said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. But he was talking to his disciples. It doesn't mean everybody. It means his disciples, those who follow him. And you know, when he comes into our lives, he transforms us. After you've met with Jesus, your life is never the same again. Because miraculously, something of his character is transferred to you by his grace. Nancy, the love of my life, she's with the Lord now. Do you know when the telephone rang at 3 o'clock in the morning? I think it's 9 weeks, eight, nine weeks today. I just lifted up my arms in bed and I praised the Lord. I just was so thankful that her suffering was over. And she's now in the presence of the one she loved and who loved her beyond measure. I'm sad, of course I'm sad, but I'm also glad because she is rejoicing. These dear people, or some of them, came to sing to her the very day before she died. They sang to her in the morning, didn't you, on the Saturday. On Sunday morning, I believe, she listened to the heavenly choir, which is far better and far more tuneful. I'm sorry, but that's right. The last word she spoke to me was, I want my red book. I want the red book. What do you mean? I want the red book. I want the red book. And we rummaged in a cupboard and I gave her a little pink notebook she had and she put it down on her tummy. Afterwards, I thought, that's the red book she wanted. And in there was a letter. A letter outlining what she wanted to happen to her. As far as her body's concerned, she said, it's of no value, it's no influence at all. But what I want you to do, whatever you do, is to make a lot of my Saviour. If you want to know more about Jesus and his love, you'll find it all in here. Sorry to bore you again, but I have another thought, another memory I wanted to pass on to you. When I had been a Christian, had I committed my life to Christ for about 3 months, working on the farm, I had to feed some cattle. I took the tractor and trailer with some bales of hay and probably fodder beet in the back. Went up to the gate of this field, which was about a mile from the farmstead. And I shooed the cattle away. They were all stood around the gate. They were hungry. They were mooing. So I shooed them away and drove the tractor in the field. And before I could get back to the gate, they'd got out. And they went along the road, their tails high, cattle, and you know what, how they go. And they were gone, absolutely out of sight. Now, what do I do? It'll take me ages to get help, and goodness knows where they've gone. Then I remembered, I'd read in the scriptures, Rachel had gone a bit further in that passage in John's Gospel. She would have got to verse 14, and it says this. If we ask Jesus, he will do what we ask if we ask in his name. So I said, Jesus, is that right? Lord, please send them back. and I heard some blaring in the distance, and the thunder of hooves, and the cattle came back in the field. Now, was that a coincidence, an answer to prayer, or a God incident? I leave it with you.
Please do take your seats. We're going to take a moment to pray, which I know is what Philip would like us to do. I know it's what Nancy would have liked us to do. And you may be here this afternoon, and you may be thinking you're here because you got an invite by text or telephone call or by email. I want to gently say to you, I believe that you're here because the Lord wants you to be here. And if you're here this afternoon and you've not yet invited this incredible God that we've been reflecting on who he is and his love and what he means to us. If you've not yet invited that God into your life to say, Lord, I'm saying yes, I want you to be the Lord of my life. This is the perfect day to do that. And I just want to echo again what I said right at the beginning. The Lord is near. And I think there's probably one or two of us in the room who there's a stirring. Philip talked about a conviction. A stirring inside of us where that's the love of God and we're beginning to experience the love of God. I'd love to pray for you particularly. I'm not going to ask you to do anything embarrassing, to put your hand up or anything like that. What I would love you to do is just to come at the end when we're having cakes and coffee and enjoying each other's company. Just come down to the front here just for a few minutes and just allow Philip and I just to pray with you. It would be an enormous privilege. So if that's you this afternoon, this prayer is for you. Just sit quietly and just say this prayer with the Lord. Lord, thank you that you lived a perfect life and then you went to the cross for me. You hung there on the cross knowing exactly what you were doing because you loved me so much. And then you were raised again to life and you are living. And you are inviting me to live a life with you as my Lord. And today I choose to say yes to you. And Lord, I say thank you that because you know me, you made me, and you know me better than I know myself. This is the most wonderful thing I could do, to make you the living God, the Lord Jesus, the Lord of my life and of my future. And I ask that you'd forgive me for all of the bits of life that have been lived without you, where I've hurt you or hurt others or even hurt myself. I say thank you that you right now, you are able and willing to forgive me. And I accept your forgiveness. And I say come into my heart, my mind, the whole of my life and my future, and let me live it with you, not separate from you. I choose to live my life with you. And I thank you for your love for me. In Jesus' name, amen. If that prayer has just resonated with you and you're thinking, that's me, I would love to just pray with you person to person. And I know Philip would too. So just come and grab us afterwards. Okay, one more prayer. Are you ready? We're going to thank God for all of the things that we've heard. And we're going to just commit the next half an hour to him so that we can really enjoy one another's company, those memories that we've got, and those of us that have just prayed that prayer that we can actually celebrate with you as well. So Lord, thank you that we're all here because you decided that you want us here. Different reasons. But Father, the thing that's brought us here, Nancy's life, a life that reflects the love of God, we just gather up all of these tributes and these memories, and we say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for a life well lived, a life lived that reflects the love of God to us and others. And we say, would you be with us in this next little bit of time that we can go deep in our fellowship and we can have good memories that are shared and maybe some tears too. We ask you, Lord, would you walk amongst us in the name of Jesus? Amen. On behalf of Philip and Helen and all the rest of the family, thank you so much for being part of this very precious time. We're going to ask Rachel and Capella if they would just play for a little bit longer. There's going to be refreshments through in the room on the left. They're going to be there for quite a while, so you don't have to rush away. If you did pray that prayer with me just a few moments ago,
I'm not going to ask you to do anything horrific. I would just love to chat with you and pray with you. So please just come down to the front just for a couple of minutes and say hello. That'd be really good. Otherwise, enjoy each other's company.